With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're in the Quicken Loans studios on CBS Sports Radio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans apply. Simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently. PharrellOnTheBench.com is rocking during the holidays with tons of picks. Army-Navy tomorrow, Sunday, Baltimore-Kansas City, Pittsburgh-Oakland, Sunday night Rams-Bears, PharrellOnTheBench.com. All my bowl picks are posted. NBA college rack every day, NHL every day. Got a huge UFC event in Toronto on Saturday night. PharrellOnTheBench.com. That's where you got to be. All right. The toll-free line, 855-212-4, CBS, brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance? They got that. Just go to GEICO.com. Jamie Eisenberg is back from CBSSports.com and CBS HQ. You hear him on CBS Sports Radio every Saturday night at 10. Sunday morning, breakfast at Tiffany's at 11 a.m. Eastern as well with Eye on Fantasy. How you doing, Jamie? The fans are lined up. The phones are full. You ready?
I'm ready, man. Good to talk to you.
All right, here we go. Trey in New York. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, hi, Jamie. How you doing? Thanks to you, I got two buys, and I got one league I need some help in tonight.
All right, Trey. Good to hear from you, bud.
All right, I need it's a standard league. I need one receiver, one running back. I got Tyler Boyd, Chris Godwin, and Mark Ingram. And I'm already starting Mike Evans because it's a two wide receiver league. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Godwin's the easy one now that DeSean Jackson's been ruled out. And then it comes down to, if it was a PPR league, I'd say go with Boyd. But I think if the weather's going to be bad, the Saints will lean a little bit more in the run game. And so I'd go with Ingram over Boyd.
All right, there you go, Trey. Let's try Eric in Pittsburgh on the fan.
Hey, guys. How are you? Love the show.
Thanks, dude.
I need to pick two out of the three. I got T.Y. Hilton, Robert Woods, and Juju Smith-Schuster.
It's a good group to have. Juju's the easy one. You know, against the Raiders, I think that's a no-brainer. And then if T.Y. Hilton's healthy, he's got a great track record against the Texans. I think they're going to be throwing a lot just based on how the run defense is for Houston and what Andrew Luck's going to have to do. So I would lean toward Hilton, but obviously if Hilton's out, you have a great fallback option in Robert Woods.
All right, there you go, Eric. 855-212-4CBS. Mike in Pennsylvania.
Hey guys, I need two wide receivers, half point league. I got Diggs, Ridley, Scantling, Samuel from Carolina, and Humphreys.
I think Diggs is the easy one. And then I'd probably just play it safe and go with Humphreys over Ridley. He's been so good with his production in the last basically 6 weeks, but certainly he scored 3 weeks in a row, and he's got a real good rapport going right now with Jameis Winston, and again, no DeSean Jackson is going to help him a lot.
All right, there you go, Mike. 855-212-4CBS, 4227 to get on with Jamie Eisenberg and talk about your fantasy playoffs. Ryan in New Mexico.
Hey, guys, I hope all is well.
Cool, man.
Hey, Jamie. So I have four running backs, and obviously one of them is Barkley. So there's no doubt about him. I'm going to start him. But the other three are McCoy, and he's playing the Jets. So that's the only good game he had this year, and so he's a consideration. And then I have Ingram and Peterson. I need to use one of them, and then the other option is my flex is Robert Woods, so I don't think I'd start any other of those left over as far as my flex. I think Robert Woods is going to be my flex, but would you start any of those under Robert Woods as your flex, and then who should I use as my running backs because I'm not going to bench Barkley, obviously.
If it's a non-PPR league, I would go with McCoy and Ingram. If it is a PPR league, I would go with McCoy and Woods.
There you go. I mean, I got to ask you. So with that guy's question, and he was a great guy. I love everybody in New Mexico. I just at about the a minute and a half point, I lost track of like what he was asking. I mean, I just like for me at about the 90-second point, like I was ready to jump off a cliff.
I thought that was your new co-host. He was
No, but I love that guy. I just wanted to say how much I love him. But at one point, there was a point when I was ready to finally just end it. Greg, you know, I don't know what it. I lost track. Like I remember, I was on Letterman one night, and the guy asked me one question, and I talked for 11 minutes. That's all I know. And he's like, and Paul was like, "Do you remember the question?" And Letterman was like, "No, I don't." But that was a great guest. He asked me one question. I talked for 11 minutes. I was soaking wet too when I got off the set. I was so nervous. Greg, it was great though doing it. I can go to my grave that I went on Letterman twice. Greg in Alaska.
Okay, two quick questions for you, please. PPR league, should I start at flex Sony Michel or Joe Mixon? And then for my receivers, I have Edelman and Gordon. Should I start them both, or should I take one out and put in either DJ Moore or maybe even Deshaun Hamilton?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it for this. I mean, if you're concerned about the Patriots, it's because obviously there's a feed there that not everyone will do well. You could play more of Josh in the PPR. I'll say this, though. The Dolphins are down in Xavier Howard, who is by far their best cornerback, and now they're probably going to play Minka Fitzpatrick or rookie on Gordon and Bobby McCain in the slot, or maybe moving some other guys around. But it should be a field day for Brady just based on that opportunity. So you're not going to be in a bad position to play both Patriots. And then I like Mixon and Michelle, but in PPR, Michelle doesn't catch the ball. He's got 7 catches on the season. Mixon will be a little bit involved in that, and they both.
All right, let me put him on hold, and we'll try to get him to call from somewhere other than Havana. I mean, Jesus. It sounds like he's in Cuba talking to me on the phone. It's just embarrassing. I mean, after a while, you talk about I've had enough. I just can't even take it anymore. Mafia's, like, over there. He's ready to, like, he's loading his gun. He's just had it. He's like, I've had it. There's no more negotiations. All right, let's go to Brad in South Carolina. You're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
Yo, what up, Jamie? Always love you. Fantasy Insight. I got two questions. Full PPR. Todd Gurley's one of my running backs. I need to start either Aaron Jones or David Johnson. And at quarterback position, do I roll with Jared Goff or should I take a risk and go with Baker Mayfield? Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the compliment. Aaron Jones is the easy one for me. He's just been great, really, for the last 5 weeks or so. And good matchup at home against the Falcons. And then I'm going to go Baker Mayfield over Jared Goff. The Panthers defense, I know Ron Rivera's taken over things, but I can't imagine he's going to fix things like the problems that they have right away. And so home game for Baker, I think he does a little bit better than Goff on the road against the Bears.
How many playoff leagues are you in for this next 3 weeks, Jamie, that you're involved in? How many leagues?
Yeah, I made it in 15 of the 22 leagues that I was in. So hopefully take almost 2 championships.
So you're in 15 playoffs.
Yes.
Wow, that's insane. I mean, that is just crazy. And you're hoping to win at least 2 championships.
Oh, I'm hoping for 15, but that's obviously not realistic. So, try to win more than you lose.
I think you'll win a 12-pack of championships, at least 12 championships, and your Corona will find its lime.
I like the sound of that.
There you go. Steve in Fairfax, Virginia. You're on with Jamie.
Hey, should I, in a standard league, go with Chris Godwin or Josh Gordon?
That's a tough one because both are in good spots. I think Gordon's ceiling is a little bit higher, just given the fact, again, no Xavier Howard. Brady, I think, has a not necessarily a statement game to the level of he's going to go for like 304, 305 touchdowns, but I could see 302 here. He hasn't had the greatest of seasons, but this is a safe spot for him, just given no pass rush, no secondary. He can almost have a 7-on-7 drill if he wants to, so Gordon would be my choice.
There you go, Steve. Have a good weekend. Brooks in Myrtle Beach.
Hey, excuse me. Thanks for taking my call.
That's all right. Brooks is snapping tubes in his garage.
Yeah, right. I standard league, I'm looking for still a flex spot. I got Chris Carson, Cortland Sutton, and Tyler Boyd. But then yesterday I had a guy offer me a trade for Jared Cook for Samuels from Pittsburgh. What do you think?
You'd be getting Samuels?
I'd be getting Samuels. I'd be giving away Cook. I got Gronk as a tight end as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad move to make if you're just looking for a one-week situation. And Samuels would be your best flex option. So if you're not going to play Cook and you feel comfortable with Gronk, then that's an okay trade to make. The only problem would be is that Cook has been better than Gronk, and so you're basically giving away the better. I mean, look, Gronk has been bad. He hasn't played well at all this season. So if you're just looking at it from the guys that you have, does Samuels and Gronk make more sense than, let's say, Sutton and Cook? If you're just looking for the one-week situation, then I'd make the trade. If you're looking for the rest of the year, then Cook has been better.
Hi, Chris in Houston. You're on CBS Sports Radio with Jamie Eisenberg.
Yes, Jamie. I lost A.J. Green and Emmanuel Sanders, so I'm down to Josh Gordon, Allen Robinson, Larry Fitzgerald, or Zay Jones. I need two of those in a PPR, and I am playing James White and Kenyon Drake as my flex. So I hear you like Gordon, but two of those
four. Yeah, I mean, of the guys, yeah, look, that's a good fallback option. A lot of people lost A.J. Green or Emmanuel Sanders, and in some cases, like you both, they don't have a guy like Josh Gordon on their bench, so that's a good situation for you. And then Fitzgerald's in a good spot also. You know, the Lions secondary is beatable. No more Christian Kirk, so he should get an uptick in targets. And I think he'll avoid Darius Slay as much as possible because they will probably still keep him in the slot as much as they can. So I think that's a good fallback option for you for the injuries that you sustain.
All right, second half of calls. Load them up, 855-212-4227 to talk to Jamie. Don't forget he's on Saturday night at 10. Sunday morning at 11, both Eastern time. Saturday night, 10, Sunday morning, 11 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, we got Jamie Eisenberg on. It's the fantasy playoffs. It's the best time of the year. It's all happening. Tons of fans are on the phones ready to talk to Jamie. Let's go right to the second half. Jeff in Virginia, you're on with Jamie Eisenberg on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, I actually have two questions. I have either to start Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees at quarterback. And then in my PPR league, it's going to be between Nick Chubb, Tarik Cohen, or Adrian Peterson. I can only pick one.
That's a great group to have. First off, I go Rodgers at quarterback. I think this is one of those statement games for him after McCarthy being fired. But it's a good home spot for him against the Falcons. And then I think just given the PPR scoring, Tarik Cohen's a little bit better than Nick Chubb, but it's hard to go against Nick Chubb. The one thing that could sway it in a major way for Nick Chubb would be Duke Johnson's status. He is dealing with death in the family, and so it's not a guarantee that he's going to play. It looks like he is, but you know, it really comes down to, I think, if you feel more comfortable with Tarik Cohen and that upside play, that's the guy I would use.
Let's go to Mike in Pittsburgh on the fan.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
So I play in a standard non-PPR league. I have to pick two out of the following four for my flex. I got LeSean McCoy, Jalen Samuels, Robert Woods, or Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, I think Samuels, just given what the upside could be there as the lead guy of the Connor replacements. And then this could be a good spot for Dalvin Cook. You know, the Seahawks run defense has been suspect at times. You know, you saw last week with what Jeff Wilson was able to do, catching the ball in the backfield. I think that's where Dalvin Cook will have a chance to make some plays. So you have four very good options there, but I like Dalvin Cook the second best behind Samuel.
All right, there you go, Mike. Have a good weekend. Jared in Florida, you're on with Jamie Eisenberg.
What's up, man? Should I play Jared Goff, Russell Wilson, or pick up Josh Allen off the waivers for my full PPR league?
I'll tell you what, man, I think Josh Allen's in a good spot this week. I know it's tough to trust him, especially, you know, when you're talking about guys like Russell Wilson and Jared Goff, but I think the upside is in his side. With what he's been able to do running the ball, you know, 99 rushing yards 2 games ago, over 100 rushing yards last week, and then he's facing a Jets team that has allowed 21 or more points in 8 of the last 9 games, including Matt Barkley, who started for Allen when he had that elbow problem. So I think that's the ceiling play. Now, obviously, the floor play is with those other two guys. I have them actually 3 in a row. Allen 13, Wilson 14, Goff 15. I play Allen, though.
All right, there you go, Jared. 855-212-4 CBS. Sam in Vegas.
Oh, shake it up. Hey, so I have a running back and a receiver question. I have Lamar Miller, Samuels, Blunt, Mack, White, Howard, Edwards, and Ware available. And then for my receiver question, I have Stephon Diggs and starting. I'm thinking about picking up maybe Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I stick with the receivers you had. You listed a lot of running backs there. I think Lamar Miller and James White are the ones that stood out to me. Again, the Dolphins' defense is really banged up, and White, even with the return of Rex Burkhead, is still getting enough touches to be successful. And Lamar Miller's been on an incredible roll right now against the Jags defense. That's just not very. Against the Texans defense is not very good.
Jamie on a roll tonight. I mean, he is just absolutely tearing it up with the fans. Call in now. It's now or never. Moses in Maryland. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey guys, I got a quick question about a PPR league that I'm in. I need a tight end and a flex position. I got Jalen Samuels, Rob Gronkowski, Traquan Smith, and Joe Mixon. And in this league, Jalen Samuels counts as both a running back and a tight end.
It's strange to say, but I would play Samuels over Gronk at the tight end spot. But it sounds like Gronk is your second best option, so you probably just play those two guys. I would not be surprised if this is a breakout game for Gronk, but I feel like I've been saying that for weeks. But again, the Dolphins are just really banged up defensively, and they're going to be thin in the secondary. So, Brady, I think, could have a field day. So I'd play Gronk and Samuels.
All right, there you go, Moses. Did you ever think Moses would call our show? I never knew it was, like, popular in the Holy Land. Steve in Vegas, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, I had a stupid question, but maybe not that stupid. The better defense, Cleveland or the Bears this week?
Yeah, with Cam Newton's shoulder, I understand where you're going. I still think I'd play the Bears just because, weather could be an issue for Jared Goff. We see sometimes with these, players that are used to being in a certain region, they struggle from time to time. It's been a track record for Derek Carr, for example. When he's had to play in cold weather, he struggled. Goff doesn't have the same sample size yet, but that could be a situation. You're going into Chicago if the weather's bad, especially with a night game. So would not be surprising if the Bears defense still holds. And by the way, Scotty, it is, Hanukkah, so that's probably why Moses is calling.
I believe you're right about that. Happy Hanukkah, by the way.
Thank you.
What is it, night six or something like that right now?
I believe so, yeah.
Thank you. I'm trying to keep up on all of my holidays. Very important. Kevin in Boston on the Hub.
Hey, Pharrell. Hey, Jamie. I just want to let you guys know you're both the god at what you do. You guys are the best in the business.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jamie, quick question. Just like you, I had eight teams. Six of them made the playoffs. This is my best team at 11-2. I got Rodgers, Gurley, and Michelle in there for running back and quarterback. I have Thielen, Edelman, and Humphreys as wide receiver, but I'm looking for a flex to maybe take out Humphreys. And my choice is Gordon, Lockett, or David Moore.
I don't think you can make a bad choice between Humphreys or Gordon. If it's PPR, I'm going to go Humphreys. If it's non-PPR, I think Gordon is your, high upside play just because, Humphreys has been on a nice little roll here with the touchdowns, but at some point that's going to stop. Just keep an eye on the weather in Tampa. If it's bad, then it's easy to go with Gordon. If the weather's fine, you could just stick with Humphreys because it sounds like that's the guy that's in your lineup right now. And I'm always against those last-minute changes because it ends up going the wrong way.
All right, there you go, Kevin. Carlos in Miami on QAM. Yo, Carlos.
Oh, I'm sorry. You broke up when you said my name. How are you guys?
I'm all right. Go ahead. What's up?
All right, PPR League, the playoffs. For my flex, I'm thinking I have Josh Gordon right now, but I'm thinking Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. I think, Ridley could be good. But, we've seen him really have two amazing games. They both came against the Saints. Better at home than on the road, better indoors, as most of the Falcons have been, than outdoors. I think he could play well, but I'm much more confident with Gordon. Again, Carlos, the Dolphins, if you're down here in Miami, that secondary right now is very beat up. So I think Gordon could have a big game without Xavier Howard there.
All right, Carlos, have a good weekend. Jim in New Hampshire. Jim.
Hey, how's it going?
Miserable.
Hey, so I just had a question. I got Adam Thielen, T.Y. Hilton, Joe Mixon. They're both questionable. I'm just curious who I should go with this weekend.
if that's your choices, just between those two guys, I do expect both to play. Hilton has a great track record against the Texans. This is their season on the line this week. So my guess is it's going to be an Andrew Luck game. He was great in terms of luck against the Texans the first time around. That was an overtime game, but I think the way to beat the Texans is throw on the ball, and T.Y. Hilton should have the chance for a big game.
All right, last guy, Brandon in Pennsylvania.
What's up, Big Money League, Mitchell Trubisky or Russell Wilson?
You know, Trubisky certainly could play well here. The Rams defense has been a little suspect, but they're a different group when Aqib Talib is on the field, and we really haven't seen a full game yet of Talib with Dante Fowler, so better pass rush, better secondary. You know, Trubisky coming back from the injury, who knows how good he's going to be. I would lean, you know, away from Trubisky this week just because I'm a little bit concerned about what the upside could be with him.
All right, have a great Hanukkah. Enjoy the playoffs this weekend in your fantasy leagues and enjoy all the games on Sunday on Pain Day. We'll see you next week, Jamie. Fantastic stuff tonight. Don't forget to catch Jamie tomorrow night at 10, Sunday morning at 11, those times Eastern on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks a lot, Jamie.
You're the best, Pharrell. Take care.
All right, Jamie Eisenberg.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so UFC 231 is Saturday night in Toronto. Mafia, there's some good fights on this card. Let's just, for the sake of saving time, tell me about these two big fights, the co-main event, the chicks, Shevchenko, who's beaten JJ two or three times as an amateur. They fought several times, three or four times, something like that, you told me, and then she's owned her. What do you think of that fight? And then we'll talk about Max and Ortega.
I think that's a great fight. I mean, two great kickboxers. They fought three times as amateur kickboxers. It was a long time ago, like 9 years ago at this point, but Valentina owned her all three. Valentina's an incredible striker. She was fighting at 135 for a long time, so that was a little tougher to make a move up against the heavier girls. Now at the 125, she gets to drop back down. I think she's going to be in her element. And fight when it's going to be kickboxing with two of them. They're two great strikers. I'm going to go with one who's won already. She's won three of them, and Joanna's kind of struggling since she lost to Rose back-to-back at 115. Now she's going up. She's going to be the smaller fighter in this.
All right, so tell me about how's Max Holloway, the Flying Hawaiian, doing going into this fight with the L.A. Compton kid, Ortega. I think he's from L.A. Anyway, he's undefeated, and we saw Holloway have some concussion problems.
Well, that's what they were calling concussion-like symptoms during his last weight cut. We don't know if it was a concussion or not. He just was very freak, you know, medical issues that he was having when they were getting ready to fight this fight the first time that didn't happen. They put him through every test. They've run the gamut with him. It's not just the regular physical this week. They put him through a lot of stuff over the last couple weeks to make sure that everything was really okay and he was ready to go and he can come back because he's had injury issues before that. He had weight cut issues when he was trying to fill in against Nurmagomedov in Brooklyn. They've made sure that this guy is physically sound to get in that cage for that fight tomorrow night, and he passed all the tests, so he's ready to go. They even had a guy on standby, you know, weighing in, ready to go just in case he couldn't make weight. He did. He's run it through that whole division the last 5 years. No one's beat him. No one's touched him. He's beat top guys up and down the list. I think he's going to win this. Ortega's great. He's well-rounded. But the footwork and the boxing that Max Holloway has is going to keep him in the lead, keep him up on the points, and get him the win.
So the guy had an issue. Everybody freaked out, you think, about him, and he's fine? Or did they have legitimate freak-out concerns?
I think they had legitimate concerns. I mean, this is the guy who had trouble making weight when they tried the late replacement, so you say, okay, no problem. But he's a guy that walks around heavy. He fights at 145, but he probably drops 30 pounds to get to 145. And Dana White even said this week that he should not be fighting at this weight. It's not safe for him to keep doing this weight cut at his age. I think he's 27 and 28 now. When you're younger, your body responds better. Now without the IV bags afterwards, a lot of guys have had to move up divisions. He might be one of them that they make do that. I know he's the champ, so it's hard to say get him out of there and put him up at 155. But for his health and safety and future, I mean, the guy's got kids. He might have to do that. Might go up to 155 and just try to tear that division apart.
So what do you think of this card overall besides those fights?
I think it's a solid, decent all-around card. I mean, there's four or five good fights that I like. There's other names on the card that you know but that have struggled. So it's not like it's completely loaded. But there are four to five solid fights that I think are going to make it interesting and make it actually worth buying, which is saying a lot because 2018, there were a lot of bad UFC cards. There's been a lot of cards that me, who was a devout believer in the UFC for years and used to watch every single fight, hasn't even paid attention to. I have cards on my DVR I haven't even watched because they were so bad. This one, I'm interested in. I'm going to take advantage of it and make sure I watch it.
All right, there you go. And one other question I got for you. Lomachenko rolls on Saturday night at the Garden?
I think so. I've never even heard of the guy he's fighting. I mean, we didn't even hear of the fight till this week. So it's amazing that's in our backyard and we didn't even know about it. It's one of those fights where this guy is such a badass that everyone else who's even close to his level is avoiding him like the plague. The only guys you're going to get to fight him are guys like this who need that publicity, who need that chance that, you know, maybe by miracle they win and make a name for
themselves. And then next week is Canelo and this Rocky guy. He's going to kill him.
That great The Zone deal that he has. He's put on great fights like this for that, what, 300-something million he's going to make. Please, you can have it.
Yeah, that's just terrible, that fight. I don't care what anybody says. Watch, it's the fight of the year. Anyway, 855-212-4227. I'm watching the, you know, weigh-ins of the UFC event, and I don't know what's worse, the UFC or boxing weigh-ins. I got to tell you, we went to the one for Wilder Fury. Is it not the greatest waste of time ever? It is just the dumbest thing. I don't know why they just don't do this behind the scenes, and then they fight. There's no reason for this, you know, these pathetic stare-downs that they are fixed. You know, this whole drama thing they have with stare-downs. And then watching them all get on a scale with no clothes on does nothing for anyone at all, ever.
Well, the funny thing is, too, I don't know what boxing, if they do it the same way, but the UFC does do it behind closed doors. They do it in the morning now and let them weigh in, and then they'll come in and do with this whole show and, you know, that they have going on for the fans where you come in for free and watch them do this for whatever reason. But they do get it out of the way in the morning so that they can go rehydrate and get back to normal. And then they still do the dog and pony show. Just get rid of it.
Some of these chicks that I'm looking at weighing in, though, I got to tell you, she's got twice the muscles I have, literally. Claudia Gadella.
Claudia Gadella is a badass. She's one of the ones that was at the top of the division for a long time. That's the main event of the undercard. That's one of the free ones. That was one of the fights that I picked.
That girl's, I mean, she's ripped.
She's tough, and she's a badass. She's not messing around. She grew up tough in Brazil, and she's not scared of anybody. She's going to come in there and bully you.
Manoa and Santos, good fight. Light, heavy?
It should be. It's two guys that want to take each other's heads off. Manoa was a guy that was like 15-0, going for a title shot if he beat Gustafsson, who was on the downswing at that point. Got the fight in Britain and then got his head taken off by Alex and then has fallen ever since. But Thiago Santos comes in there and comes with violent intentions. He wants to hurt you bad, and he's fun to watch.
He's Brazilian. How about the tats? That guy's rocking. Jesus. I'm scared just looking at him.
That's a guy that's going to take you down or you're going to take him down. One or the other. It's not going to be a decision. He's going to try to go for the throat one way or another.
So, and you think he's going to beat this guy, Manoa?
I think he is. Manoa's like 3-4 since he lost to Gustafsson. He's just fallen off the map ever since. He had that great run, and he was exciting, and everyone loved him. And then he's just fallen on hard times. Hasn't been able to get it back in the win column, really.
There you go. So the Warriors are up 10 on the Bucks in Brewtown with 3.5 minutes to go and rolling. I mean, that guy's ripped too, Manoa. My God. Look at that guy. He looks almost like who was the one guy? Do you remember the toy? What was it? Stretch Armstrong? You could pull him apart?
That was him, yeah.
I mean, that guy looked a little bit like the Stretch Armstrong doll.
Well, you got to think, too, both these guys probably walk around at what, you know, I walk around, like 230, and then they just lose 20, 25 pounds to get to 205 to fight.
Yeah, I guess, apparently. How about the Warriors tonight just handing it to the Bucks? A lot of people are talking about the Bucks being this great team, right? And that, you know, with Giannis, they're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and all this other stuff. Does anybody really believe that? Do you think that the Bucks will make it to the Eastern Conference Final, or is it Toronto and, you know, Boston? Is it Toronto and Philly? Because when I think of the East, I think of those three teams. Philly, and believe it or not, Boston, and then obviously Toronto. I would put the Bucks in there as for me, the fourth at best.
Yeah, to me right now, they're like the Wizards were for a couple years there, where they're like right on the cusp of being one of the top teams, but can't quite make that next jump. It's Toronto and Boston right now. Philly's going to be in the mix because they're exciting and young, and they got Butler, but I still think their defense is a little soft to really get the win when they need it down the stretch. I think those other two have a lot of veterans, a lot of strength, and you know, a lot of athleticism. Phil's exciting, but they don't do enough on the road. So
Melo, the talk about Melo to the Lakers is kind of calmed over the 24 hours, right? Yesterday, the story was LeBron wanted Melo with the Lakers, and then by tonight, as we're doing the show, the Lakers have allegedly no interest in Carmelo Anthony, and then LeBron allegedly has not spoken with Magic Johnson about getting Melo to play for the Lakers. That sounds like it's kind of dead to me at this point, that they're not going to do that almost, but we'll see. I don't think that guy can – I said this before, that I don't think he's going to help really anybody. The only team that I literally think that he might be able to, you know, pitch in or do something on or produce on or score on and give them decent burn in minutes and points would be the Grizzlies in Memphis, to be honest with you.
He just hurt that team.
You think he'd hurt them?
He'd hurt them.
He'd hurt them, and I don't think they have interest in him, but I could see him actually fitting in with them, but – I don't think he'd be happy there because I don't think he's pleasable. I honestly, at this point, think that he's such a diva, like you can't even please him.
That's why he needs to go play somewhere that doesn't matter, that isn't good, and he can just sit there and chuck for the crowd all night, and the team's always losing. It doesn't make a difference.
You think he wants to go somewhere and lose?
I don't care what he wants to do. If he wants to do what he wants to do, which is stand there and chuck all night, he's got to go – if that's all he wants to do, which kind of seems like he wants to do,
right,
and be the man, quote-unquote, even though we know that he can't do that anymore, he's got to go to a place that doesn't matter because playoff teams, he can't do that.
Right.
So go somewhere that doesn't matter. Like, he should go to, like, Cleveland now, you know, because Cleveland don't matter anymore. And he could just stand there.
He could be the new LeBron in Cleveland.
He could just stand there and chuck all night.
He could play with Dellavedova.
That's it. He just needs to go somewhere where he could just chuck.
Ground chuck.
Got nothing else to do. He can't help it.
Roast
a good
Chuck.
Team. Chuck
Barkley.
He'll just bring a good team down.
Chuck and Duck. I agree that he needs to go get his shots because that's all he can do is shoot. And he certainly can't play defense. He can't run anymore. He's shot. He's washed. But he could definitely shoot. I don't know how many he's going to make. He's going to shoot about 35%. I know that. So I'm watching these amateur fights, I think, of Shevchenko against JJ. Those are the fights that I'm watching right now. Is that not those?
That is, yes.
So she owned her.
She got three decisions, 3-0.
But I think that JJ chick's a badass in the octagon. And I guess Shevchenko is as well. I'm not going to deny it, right?
She is. I mean, she owned that 115 division for a while there. She was dominant. No one thought she would be dethroned before Nama Yunus came in there and knocked her out in New York and then beat her again. So it was very surprising when she lost one, let alone two in a row. Now she's moving up a weight class.
Right. To meet JJ.
Yeah, and get the immediate title shot instead of having to work her way back up.
So I hear all these people talking about the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, that he's incredible and he's going to take the Bucks to the finals and everything else. I don't believe he can do it on his own, to be honest with you. And I know they're always talking about they got all these other pieces. I don't deny that they have some, you know, guys that can fill it up, but it's not like I'm scared of them. Middleton, tonight he's got 10. Brooks Lopez, no one cares about him. Eric Bledsoe, 14. Brogdon, the kid out of Virginia, 13. He's been in the league a couple of years. They got Pat Connaughton now. He had 9 tonight. I mean, Tony Snell, Thon Maker. That's our boy Thon Maker.
See, he's done a lot since that year he tore up the summer league.
It's just unbelievable. There you go. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers, cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football's on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Army-Navy. How does Army not beat Navy? The way Army's been on a roll, they've been winning for like 9 straight weeks. I think they're going to handle their business against Navy. They're better. Navy's had a horrible year. Army's been awesome. I'm on the Knights. Should be a good game tomorrow in Philadelphia. Army and Navy. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. $5 game day pitchers, cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football's on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with exciting regional action. Play of a wild card position is up for grabs in the AFC matchups when Baltimore battles the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Andrew Luck leads Indy into Houston to take on the Texans, and Philip Rivers-led Chargers host the Bengals in L.A. Check your local listings and kick off your day with the NFL today. All right, there you go. So, it's now, 101-91. Still a 10-point game with 2 minutes left in that one. And, I mean, everything has been in the bag tonight, I think, in terms of games. That was the game that I wanted to keep my eye on in the Warriors-Bucks game. But the Hornets beat the Nuggets 113-107. Mafia lost money there. Sixers beat the Pistons. Mafia lost money there. 117-111. It was horrific. Pacers over the Magic. The Magic have been playing good ball. Pacers still whack them. Nets beat the Raptors in overtime. I can't even believe that. Everybody lost money there. Kings over the Cavs, 129-110. Bulls beat the Thunder. Everybody lost money there, 114-112. Yeah, of course. Grizzlies over the Pelicans in New Orleans, 107-103. I had the Grizzlies on the spread side. The Spurs beat the Lakers. I hit the Spurs and laid 1.5, I believe, or 2.5 there. They covered. And then the Heat over the Suns. I hit that one as well, 115-98 in the desert. And in terms of hockey tonight, light night, Oilers beat the Wild 7-2. Blues 1-0 over the Jets. Canes and Ducks are 1s after 2 periods in Anaheim. And the Stars in Dallas beat the Sharks 3-2.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.